Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. We are doing, because it is that most wonderful time of the year, the 10 best films of 2018, or 2018, whichever you prefer. Hi, David. How are you?
I'll do both. How's that?
Even better.
I'm just fine, Jill. How are you doing this week?
That's 4036. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. Well, it is a tradition for us movie critics to give our 10 best of the year at the end of the year. And since it is, in fact, 2019 has now started, it's a good time to do the 10 best of 2018. So here we go. And I want to start out by saying that 2018 was not, in my opinion, a good year for the movies. Of course, there were some very fine pictures. And of course, most of the movies in any year are somewhere between mediocre and okay and not very good. True stinkers are as rare as true masterpieces, I think. But I don't think that 2018 was a distinguished year in any way at all. That said, I have come up with 10 movies that I really like and respect. And if people haven't seen them, I suggest they seek them out. Nowadays, in this age of DVD and Blu-ray and streaming and whatnot, one can easily see movies that slipped below one's notice while they were actually in theaters. So I'm going to do it, as I guess is traditional, in sort of the reverse order way, and I'll start with the 10th best movie of 2018, and that is a British film called Lean on Pete, directed by Andrew Hay. And it is a British film, but it is very much on an American subject. It is about a young man and his friendship with a horse. And that sounds like corny, old-fashioned Disney-type stuff, and the movie is really, really, really not that at all. It's a very, very engaging, engrossing drama. The Lean on Pete is the name of the horse, who is for short known as Pete. And again, the story focuses on the relationship between this young man and this horse, and the horse gives a good performance, but the main character, who is the human friend of the horse, is played by Charlie Plummer, not related to the famous and great Christopher Plummer, but Charlie Plummer is a wonderful young actor, and I'm sure we're going to see plenty more of him, and he is just marvelous in Lean on Pete. So it's a movie which I really do recommend if you like it. Animal movies or horse movies or just movies. It's a very, very good film. Next of all, number 9 on the list is a film, a European film, called Nico 1988. This was directed by Susanna Nicchiarelli, and it is about Nico, the singer and Andy Warhol superstar. But this is about her later in her life, as she is trying to sustain a career that was never really all that distinguished to begin with, and now she's sort of touring around and doing her singing and again trying to keep herself going as a performer. The main thing, as with Lean on Pete, where the one of the great attractions in it is Charlie Plummer's performance, Nico 1988 is even more than that. The main thing in it is the lead performance as Nico by Trina Dryholm. It is an absolutely marvelous, marvelous performance. Here we have a very, very unglamorous middle-aged performance of a star whose glamour has really faded, and yet Trina Dryholm holds the screen every single moment. It's a really magnetic performance, and the movie is really worth seeing just for her performance alone. And also, anybody who's interested in sort of the pop scene of the past few decades would be interested in it too. Certainly, anybody interested in the Warhol scene. Again, the movie is called Nico 1988, and it's a strong picture. Number 8 on the list is a movie by an American filmmaker and a pretty well-known one at that, Paul Schrader. his most recent film, First Reformed. Paul Schrader is best known, I suppose, still as the screenwriter of some of Martin Scorsese's greatest movies, like Taxi Driver and Raging Bull. But Paul Schrader has himself written and directed many, many films of his own. And First Reformed is just his latest one, and it comes back to a subject that has always fascinated Schrader from the very beginnings of his career, and that is religion. And First Reformed is the story of a Protestant minister who is his faith has become very, very shaky, and he gets involved with a couple of young people who are sort of involved with the environmental movement, and all sorts of dramatic things follow from that. The movie is an eccentric movie. It's filmed in a narrow aspect ratio. It's not the wide screen that we're used to today. It's shot in an old-fashioned sort of square screen format, and it has a sort of a climax which is transcendental in more than one way, and that's a big concern of Schrader's. He once wrote a book called Transcendental Style in Film, and it's just a fascinating movie with a very, very good performance by Ethan Hawke in the leading role. There's one documentary on my list, and that is Three Identical Strangers. This is another British film made by Tim Wardle, but again, it's a very, as with Lean on Pete, it's a British film with a very American subject, the story of three identical triplets, who never knew that each other existed or that one another existed until they were young adults. And then they found each other, and all kinds of really surprising coincidences and things emerged from that. And they decided to try to find out why it was that they were separated and kept ignorant of each other's existence, literally for decades. So it was my favorite documentary of the year, anybody who likes nonfiction films should definitely catch up with Three Identical Strangers. Quite a marvelous story. There is more than one horror movie on my list this year, and that's partly because it was not a very distinguished year, and I was sort of scrambling around for what movies really did interest me a lot, and I like horror movies, and normally I would try to maybe keep it down to maybe one or two, and I've actually got three on this year, and the first one in the number six position is Border, which is a Scandinavian film directed by Ali Abbasi. And this is a story about two people, very, very physically unattractive people, and they are rendered physically unattractive with really quite remarkable makeup effects. They get to know each other, these two. One of them is a customs agent, which is where the title Border comes from, and the other one is a sort of a sinister character, and we're wondering who this person is. And they are not only physically unattractive, but they look really, really like each other, even though they never met before the beginning of the movie. And then it turns out that there are supernatural things afoot. And the story proceeds from there. It's really a remarkable movie with some very perverse and strange sexuality in it. But I just found it really, really riveting. And again, the performances are quite remarkable. People buried under tons of makeup, and yet they give really expressive performances. And the story has a lot of very unexpected twists and turns. My number five film, as we get halfway up the list, is another horror movie, Hereditary, an American horror picture by Ari Aster. And I've seen this more than once, and I have to say, it's just as a cinematic experience, it's very impressive. Marvelous gliding camera work and interesting editing in it that really rivets the imagination every moment. Excellent music track and really, really good performances by Gabriel Byrne and Toni Collette, among others. It is a story of madness that seems to be going down through a family, but it turns out that there is much more than madness going on. It turns out that there is a great deal of, again, supernatural stuff is in the air here. And again, it's just a fascinating audio-visual experience, a remarkable film, really engrossing kind of of an environment to enter, while telling a very surprising story and with absolutely excellent acting all the way through. My next film, number four, as we start to head toward the top of the list, is a movie called Capernaum. This is a Lebanese-American production, written and directed by Nadine Labaki, who also plays one of the supporting roles in the film. And this is a harrowing tale of a boy who meets a refugee, it takes place in Lebanon, who meets a refugee from Africa, and she ends up getting detained with her little baby just sort of adrift in the world. And so this boy who has made her acquaintance now has himself the task of taking care of this little baby, which is not his little baby. and he's searching all over the city, and he's trying to find the mother and whatever happened to her, and return the baby to her, and return her to the baby. And it is really pretty harrowing. I mean, for a long part of the movie, he's traipsing around the city, lugging this baby behind in a sort of a homemade cart that he made. And it's, again, it's really quite a harrowing film. I keep saying that, but it's worth repeating. But it's a very, very good movie, beautifully made, beautifully directed, very much about things that should be at the forefront of everyone's attention nowadays, such as refugee crises and the plight of the homeless and stuff like this. And the whole movie has this sort of framing situation that we see at the beginning and at the end, and it recurs from time to time in the middle, where the young boy who is the main character is suing his parents, trying to get a court order for them not to have any more children because he feels they've done such a bad job of raising him so far. So quite a fascinating film about issues of family and, again, homelessness and refugees, and a very serious movie, but very, very gripping to watch. So we're up to the top three films of 2018 now, and my number three film is my last horror movie on the list, Suspiria, which is an Italian-American production made by Luca Guadagnino, a filmmaker of whom I am extremely fond of his work. Does really, really terrific, just beautiful filmmaking. Suspiria is a remake of an Italian movie by the great Dario Argento, made several years ago, and the remake is far more ambitious. It takes place in Berlin, Germany, during a time of enormous crisis when the country was still, it was actually West Germany and East Germany, when the country was still divided, the city was still divided, and it is as the original film was not that way. All that political angle has been added to the new version of Suspiria, but once again, it turns out that there is all kinds of supernatural skullduggery going on in a dance institution. One of the things that Suspiria, the new Suspiria, has going for it is a sensational performance by the always sensational Tilda Swinton, who plays at least three different roles in the movie, and she is sensational in each one. And that's not just a stunt or a trick or a novelty. She's really, really good in those different roles. The rest of the cast is equally sensational. Well, not equally, but almost as sensational. And I just found it a really engrossing horror movie. It's about 2.5 hours long. You got to be prepared for that. But it held my attention every step of the way. And as with some of the other movies on my list, just as cinema, as pictures and sound, it is absolutely artful every single step of the way. The number two movie on my list is a movie that's been winning awards and prizes and getting on 10 best lists. Movies all lists all over the place, and I'm putting it at number two this year, and that is Roma, made by Alfonso Cuarón. This is a Mexican-American production, and everybody, as I'm sure, have been hearing about Roma. It is really worth seeing. It's a very long movie, but I found it absolutely riveting. It tells the mostly very undramatic but always riveting story of a household in Mexico City. It does not take place in Rome. It takes place in Mexico City and a neighborhood known as Roma. And it is about this young woman who's a servant in a sort of an upper middle class household. And we see her experiences and her challenges, for example, when she gets pregnant out of wedlock. And we see the experiences and challenges faced by various family members around her and near her and intertwining with her. The movie is based very much on Alfonso Cuarón's own memories of growing up. I think it's fascinating that he made this movie not about himself as a kid, although himself as a kid representing him is in the movie, of course, but about a woman who he cared for so deeply, namely this basically nanny and maid and housekeeper who took care of him when he was a kid. And it's just a lovely, lovely tribute to her. But it shot in black and white, which is as beautiful and sumptuous and elegant as any cinematography I've seen all year, and an astonishing sound design, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful movie, Roma. And finally, my choice for the best picture of 2018 is Spike Lee's latest film, Black Klansman. This year has been a time when the American film industry has been going out of its way to make up for decades and decades and decades of neglect of African-American talent. And we've had movies like Black Panther and The Hate U Give and Sorry to Bother You. But to my mind, the best of all these movies and the only one that really belongs on a 10 best list is Black Klansman. This is Spike Lee's movie based on the real experiences of an African-American man who joined the Ku Klux Klan as a police officer in Colorado, kind of infiltrated and uncovered all sorts of stuff while he was there. And the way they did this was he did all of the telephone contacts with the Klan, and then a white officer, played by Adam Driver, went and did the actual in-person stuff. So it was actually a team. But here we have a story that you thought could never exist. An African-American guy joining the Ku Klux Klan and with the help of a white officer or with the partnership of a white officer manages to accomplish great things in the horribly racist America that we do still live in today. Even though it's not as racist as it used to be, it's still racist enough. So a fascinating movie, wonderfully directed by Spike Lee. He's been in lean years lately, but this was a smashing comeback for him. And to my mind, Black Klansman was the best movie of 2018. And so that is my extremely upbeat story this week, Jill.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the 10 best of 2018.